Sometimes I sit here and I try to remember what life was like while you were here. I still sometimes set the table for two, even though I know only one's going to eat. I think about some of the talks that we've had. I can still hear the sound of your voice. And I can even give you the details of some of the conversations. Usually I remember actually your words better than I remember my own. It seems like a lot of times other people don't get me, but you did. So, sometimes I sit here and I think about how I actually eat faster than you do. I'd usually be done and you'd still be either cutting it into those little pieces or chewing it much longer than I chew. I just kind of like, right down. You always seem to be ready to help. I'm just trying to get used to life without you. But you know what? I'm tired of life without you. So I'm going to stop being stubborn. I'm going to call you up, I'm going to ask you to forgive me, and I'm going to come home. How many of you thought I was talking about somebody who had died? That's tough, right? I think about Father's Day coming up, and my mom, Father's Day is going to be a tough day. It's tough living life without somebody who you've loved. But you know what's even tougher? Living life without somebody you love because of your choices. Do you realize that we live life without Jesus and without the Holy Spirit? Not because they're not willing to be in our lives, but because we have pushed them aside. There's a song a number of years ago that a man named Larnell Harris sang. It's called, "I Miss My Time With You." But it's not the person talking about missing time with God. It's talking about God and how, as the person it usually would get up, used to get up and have their quiet time, and how it's like God sits there and we rush right by him. And it says, "I miss my time with you, those moments together. I used to meet with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy." The God of all heaven, who upholds everything else, and yet I'm too busy to be with him. But yet he makes time in his schedule for me. It's very hard. And some of you, I'm sure, as I was sitting there, some of the emotions, that you feel yourself. But let me ask you, what must God think when he has made himself available to us and we're living life without him, but not because he's left us, but because we have pushed him away through our busy schedules, or we've pushed him away through our issues, or we've pushed him away because we've become interested in things other than him. And I want to talk about that living without the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is as if we are living life without you, Lord. So I want you to turn to John 14. I'm going to be really short. You know why? It's warm. And people, even as they try, they start falling asleep. So I'm not going to let you fall asleep. In John 14, Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus says, "I am leaving you." Jesus says, "You are going to have life what? You're going to have life without me." The disciples, you are going to be upset. That word for being troubled, don't let your hearts be troubled, it's the word that has the idea of the white caps on the bay. Ever been down there when you see the white caps? We were down there yesterday. We were going to Corey Beach because we thought we could like get in between the clouds. All of a sudden, the wind started up and these huge white caps started. That's what happens in a person's heart when life is going rough. You see all those white caps and the wind kicks up and life is going on. Jesus says, "You're going to have life without me." But that's not where Jesus left the conversation. If you go in John 14, Jesus makes the conversation when he gets down to the section that we read this morning in John 14, if you turn over to verse 15, excuse me, let me make sure I get this the right spot here. John 14, verse 15, "I love you. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter that will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you." Let me put this real straight. Jesus says, "I'm leaving you. You are going to have life without me. And for a while, you're going to be very troubled. But let me tell you something. I am sending the Holy Spirit." And the word here for another comforter means somebody just like me. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is coming, and he's not just going to be with you. That's what you did for 3 years. You were with me. The Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to live where? In you. Jesus says, "I'm going away, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit who will be with you forever." So let me ask you, for the believer, do we ever have to live life without him? Jesus left the disciples, but he said, "I'm sending somebody who will live in you, and he will be with you forever, so there will never be life without me." Do you realize that? If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is never a time that God is not with you, because the Holy Spirit has been given to you at salvation, and he not only lives with you, which is what Jesus did with disciples, this is a better relationship because he lives in you. His strength becomes your strength. His wisdom becomes your wisdom. His love is poured out in our hearts, it says in Romans. His knowledge becomes our knowledge. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he is going to teach you everything that I taught you, and he's going to remind you of everything that I said." Wow. Do you get that? The Holy Spirit is like instant rewind. Not only that, rewind and commentary. Ever watch one of those movies? It probably would drive you guys crazy, but I like doing it once in a while. Ever watch one of those movies that has the commentary with it? And it's usually historical movies. It not only gives you the action, but it's telling you what happened and the story behind the action. The Holy Spirit comes to the believer, and he not only reminds us of everything that Jesus has said, but he causes us to get it. Have you ever had a child or a grandchild that looked so much like the father or the mother or the grandfather or the grandmother, and every time you heard them open their mouth, they even sounded like them? Boom! To look at them, to hear them, to listen to them was to hear that person all over again. And the Holy Spirit lives within us so that we hear the voice of Jesus all over again. Jesus said to them, I'm going to give you three quotes. "I will not leave you orphans, but I will come to you. And the Father and I will make our home in you." Verse 23, is where it says that we will make our home in you. And then he says, I will remind you of everything. And then he says in that same passage, because I live, you also will live. You will have a life that was not possible until I left and you were without me, but the Holy Spirit came so you would never be without me. Never. Do you know what other things show us that the Holy Spirit is always with us? Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be witnesses. Listen to me, if you are a believer, there the Holy Spirit lives in you to witness the people of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never hold back. You and I might, but the Holy Spirit does not. And as you and I grow in the Holy Spirit and His influence on our lives, it should get to the point that we're saying, I cannot wait to meet that next person. I can't wait for that next opportunity. Ray was talking about some of those opportunities that pop up in front of you. And the Holy Spirit says, sick 'em. Here we are. Yes, Lord, we are here. We're here to talk about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit doesn't say, oh man, they might not think too good of me. Oh man, they might call me names. The Holy Spirit never says that stuff. He says, let me open your mouth for you. I got lots of words to say. You just open your mouth and I'll speak through you. The other thing that the Holy Spirit's power brings, I want to remind you, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that the natural man cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritual, but the spiritual man will understand all the things of God. You know what that means? That means when I open this Bible, that the one who helps me to understand what I'm reading is the Holy Spirit. I got a question. Do you open this Bible and it's all a mystery to you? Is this just like words? Is this like opening the sports section and you hate sports? Is this that part of the paper that you always throw in the basket right away? If that is the truth, then I question whether you really know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that we who are believers and we who have the Holy Spirit are going to desire to read this like a baby who wants to have that milk. You know, that's the baby that just won't be quiet. Shh. Try to get him the binky. You know, the binky, you know, what are they going to get out of a binky? You know, really, kids must be frustrated. They must be like, what is this? I wanted the good stuff. Every Saturday morning, our Bible study leader says, did you read this your Bible this week? Do you know why he asks us that? That's George Fisher. Did you read your Bible this week? Because we should be reading it every week. And then he asks the next question, what did God say to you through the Bible? And everybody's like, oh, buttering my bagel, drinking my coffee. Do you know why George asks that every week? Because that's the truth. God wants us to be reading His Word. God wants us to be hearing what He's saying from His Word. So George, to ask it to a group of guys who are believers, it shouldn't be unnatural. It should be like, this one's is saying this, and this one is saying this, and this one is saying this, because God has not forgotten how to speak through His Word, nor through His Holy Spirit. So I have a list of questions. The Bible tells us that we are adopted. Jesus talks about it in this passage, where He says, I will not leave you orphans. We also have Paul's words in Romans chapter 8 where he says, we have received the spirit of adoption. Let me ask you a question. Are you constantly doubting God's love? Are you constantly feeling as if you are very far from God and don't belong? I'm not saying that there are times when we can feel like there's some distance has come between us, but I'm asking you, is that a constant? Do you live in fear? Do you live in fear because you're not sure of God's love? Or do you live in fear because you're not sure that you will ever be acceptable to God. Let me tell you right off the bat, none of us are acceptable to God. Jesus Christ was the only one who was acceptable to God, and he made the sacrifice so we would be acceptable. But in Jesus Christ, we have been adopted. So if you live in that fear, I would say it's an indication that you don't belong to God. The Bible says that those who have the Spirit of Christ living in them, that Spirit gives testimony that we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. If you constantly wonder about that, it may be that you're not. And I'd like to talk to you about it. We got a great adoption agency. The agent is the Holy Spirit because he is the Spirit of adoption. There is no red tape. He knows how to get you right into the family today. Today. Let me ask you another question. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives in us to be the power over sin. Are you constantly giving in to temptation? Is there a temptation? Is every temptation you meet a good temptation that you never can say no to? Do you always end up giving in? If that's the truth, you should question, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. It says in the book of Romans, those who live by the power of the Spirit say no to the flesh and live instead by the power of God. Do you rarely think of the Word of God? Do you rarely think of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, the spiritual man, the man who has been born by the Spirit, will think on the things of the Spirit of God, because they are not foolishness to him. The carnal man, or the man who's just a body, flesh, he does not understand the things of God. If when you open the Bible, this never makes sense to you, it may be that the Spirit doesn't live in you. Because the Bible tells us the Spirit lives in us, so that when we are reading this, these are not words of just a history book. These are not words of stories. This is God talking to me. This is like when I open the Bible and I read a passage I've read five different times. This fifth time or this sixth time, there's something specific that God is saying to me. Why? Because he's speaking through his word. His Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Do you witness? Jesus said, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be witnesses. Do you know why I read the passages in Revelation? I want to sit down for a minute. Sardis. I know you don't know Middle East geography. Sardis. Do you know when you were going up to the town of Sardis and you were looking at the horizon, do you know what you would see first? There was a prominent cemetery. When John and the Holy Spirit write these messages to the church, John says these words to the church of Sardis. You have a name that you are alive, but you are what? Dead. Interesting that he writes that to a town where a church was, that the notoriety of that town was, as you drove up on the horizon, the first thing you saw was what? A cemetery. Secondly, the town of Sardis was known back in the days of like the Persian kingdom that they had fought a lot of battles and they were battle-hardened and they were known as the tough guys of the day. But over the years, people had become very comfortable with their lives. And all they could talk about were the glory days gone by, because right now they were in their comfort zone and there were no more glory days. They just remembered the glory days. And you know what Paul, you know what the Holy Spirit and John says to that church? Wake up. Wake up. We don't talk about what we used to do. We don't talk about how it used to be with God. We don't talk about how we used to do these things. What God wants to be talking about is what we're doing with him now. Not that our spiritual lives are somehow on life support, or that we have a name that we're alive, but really inside we're kind of dead in our comfort zones. He also writes to the church of Laodicea, a church that had become so self-absorbed and self-deceived that they couldn't even see what God wanted them. And so Jesus writes to them, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in and will eat with him, and he with me." I think of Saul and David. Saul in the Old Testament was chosen by God and for a while did the right thing. But then he started doing his own thing. You know what the Bible tells us? The Spirit of God left him. Oh, well, the Spirit of God's not going to leave us now. You know, once we're saved, we're always saved. Well, hold on to that thought. Do you know who saw the effects of what it was for the Spirit of God to leave a person? Who was it that when the Spirit of God that had left Saul and Saul got into his bad moods, who was it that was there to try and kind of like tame the wild beast? Who was that? Do you remember? David. David was there. David saw what it was like when Saul was in those moods, when it was very evident that the Spirit of God had left Saul. You know what? Saul was to the point he probably didn't even notice anymore. There's an interesting thing that David says. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery, and then put a hit out on her husband and had him killed in battle? I want you to turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. David, in the middle of this psalm, a psalm where he's repenting of this sin, says these words in verse 10. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." David says, "Lord, please, don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Where do you think that fear might have come from? I wonder, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us clearly, but I wonder if David didn't think about Saul and think about how the Holy Spirit had left Saul, knowing what kind of sin he had committed, adultery, and putting a hit on somebody. And I wonder if David was like, "I don't want to end up like Saul." I know, our theology doesn't say that the Holy Spirit will leave you. We don't sing those songs because, you know, that's bad theology. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people who aren't missing the Holy Spirit because they never had him to begin with. You see, if you know Jesus Christ and you've had the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you know the difference between when you are being filled with the Holy Spirit and when you're living in a state where you have so grieved the Holy Spirit and you have quenched him. His presence is still in you, but his influence is squashed. And there are a lot of Christians that are living life without you, without the Holy Spirit. But it's not because the Holy Spirit has made that choice. It's because we have. And I, throughout this summer, will seek to truly be preaching on the vital ministry of the Holy Spirit and how that changes you every time You open this book every time you pray, every time you witness what the power of the Holy Spirit is to accomplish in our lives. Because I don't want you getting used to living a life without you, without the Holy Spirit. There's a song. You're going to hear this over and over and over and over again. You may not know it today, but that's okay, because we're going to sing it like every Sunday. It's called This Same Power. It's a song by Jeremy Camp, and it says, "This same power that rose Jesus from the dead, this same power that calls the dead to life, lives in us." Do you realize that? If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you have committed your life to Him, the power of everything the Holy Spirit is lives in you. So why do we live the lives that we do? Not a good answer. And that's why we must, by the grace of God, address that. I want you to stand with me. If you know this, please sing it. If not, you'll sing it anyway.